The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. I hope you're going to have a good time listening. And if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. The last four digits spell C-A-R-M. That's carm.org, C-A-R-M.O-R-G. Oh, boy. And let's see. I released an article yesterday. Do animals have souls? Yes and no, depending on the definition. No, folks, they don't, not like us. And there's a major difference. And there's some research on the word nefesh and tsuke in the Hebrew and the Greek, and put some information up. I'm also working on a compilation of a lot of the COVID research where I'm going to be producing, hopefully release it in an hour, two or three, an article summarizing a lot of stuff along with a link to a PDF that you can just download. People give you any trouble, you can say, here, look at this information, and it'll be like two pages. So it could be printed on left or right or back and front, and you can just fold it up and carry it with you. All kinds of stuff is there, along with some seriously thought-provoking questions. So there you go with that. And if you're new to the show, we're a Christian apologetic show. We defend the Christian faith. And I've been doing radio for almost 17 years. And come to think of it, my wife and I's anniversary is 35 years is coming up. Wow. I got to think of something. You know, it's easy to buy a gift for a guy. You know, a tool, something for fishing, bullets, you know, basic stuff. But what do you do for a girl? Oh, man, you got to think romantically and not practically. Oh, boy, for someone like me, that is tough. But I'm gonna suffer through it, you know, it's part of marriage. I've survived this long. You know, I've had a few dinners frisbeed at me, but, you know, you got this for my birthday, you know. But anyway, so no big deal. I think I'll survive this one, too. Boy, it's tough. All right. So why don't we just get on the line here? And since we've got someone from Norway calling in from Norway, we'll call him. We'll get to him first, all right? Let's get to Simon from Norway. Hey, Simon. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Nice to calling you again.
Sure. So what do you got, man?
Yeah. My question is on freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking about this recently, and, you know, we get our concept of freedom from the Bible, and is our understanding of freedom today any different from what the people in the Bible's understanding of freedom was their time?
Uh-huh. Freedom, biblically, is freedom to serve God and freedom to do what is right before God, and we have freedom in Christ because we're freed from the bonds of sin. Freedom in a secular sense is to do whatever satisfies your own flesh. But freedom in a Christian sense is to do that which is glorifying of God. And we're freely able to do that when we use our freedom from sin and from our enslavement to sin to serve God and represent Him. That's what we're free to do.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. And then I was wondering, because in the biblical times, of course, they experienced the oppression, and they knew what it was to be persecuted and so forth. And so having like their freedom, in a sense, challenged or removed and so forth, experiencing similar things to what people today can also encounter. Is there a way to look at what they went through and kind of understand our situation today. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, what I would recommend people do is if they want to know what bondage is, to read the issue of the enslavement of the Jews when Moses came. And also go to the book of Judges and read through there. And I forget exact references and stuff, but there are plenty of places that talk about God sending in armies to destroy Israel, to subjugate them, because they turned their back on Him. And there's a cycle, actually, a historical cycle. And it lasts, I think, remember in seminary we talked about this, 430 years, I think, is the average. And America is at the, like, 450 or 470 years or something like that. So before the average, well, let me clarify, the average cycle of when civilizations rise and fall, some are a lot longer, some are a lot shorter, and this is what's going on. So, yeah, because everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes. They don't have the freedom to serve their own flesh. Mm-hmm. They have the freedom to serve God and serve man, and not in the Twilight Zone sense of serving man, but serving each other, you know, and helping each other. Okay.
Right. Yeah. And then when it comes to, like, freedom of speech or so forth, you know, we Moses, he spoke before Pharaoh, and Jesus, he, you know, sort of taught the Sermon on the Mount, and Paul, who's at the Areopagus. It seems that they have this freedom of speech even during their time, or was that any different from today?
Well, there's differences to a point, but I don't know. I'm not a historian. Our freedoms here in America, I don't know how it is in Norway, but here in America, our freedoms of speech, our freedom of speech is being restricted more and more by the left and by big companies like Facebook and YouTube and things like that. I assume it's similar there in Norway, but you know, we are experiencing, at least here, more and more oppression and restriction and censoring. And so that's just how it goes, you know. It's not that it's good, it's what it is. We have a, I don't know how it is there, but well, I'll tell you, we have here, and I am dead serious, the far left, I think they have mental problems, and I'm not joking. I am dead serious. I think the far left here, the people, they have mental problems. There's something wrong with
them. I mean, we have socialism in Norway, but when I look at America right now, I'm getting scared. Because you're going too far.
Yeah, America's going way too far. And socialism, you know, Norway's not really a true socialist country, but there's a lot of socialist ideas there. In France, there's also a lot of socialist ideas, and they pay like 80% of their income to the state. And they live on 20% of what they make. So this is what socialism does. And so having been over there, I'll tell you, restricting of heaters in your homes, you know, they won't turn lights on. They, you know, it's just their showers are super small. You're supposed to take super quick showers. It's just their lifestyle, because the pressure on them is so consistent. But nevertheless, it's happening here, and it's going to go bad. In fact, we've had foreign exchange students for years, and not in the past 3 years, just my wife's open heart surgery, but. We've had foreign exchange students from Japan, from France, from South America, other places. And I've told them all. I says, you watch, America's going to fall. You're going to witness it. You're going to see it. I've been telling them. Well, so it's what's going to happen.
Well, here it's more like a groupthink thing. If you don't like do what everybody else does, it's kind of like you're oust and you're kind of... you know, odd, or you know, not being loyal, or you're not contributing. Right. You know, you know, when you stand firm in the Lord, people kind of, at least from my experience, tend to respect that. You know, here, I don't know how it is in the States right now, but at least here, you tend to be respected, even if you differ of opinion. But
they mock you here.
It's still
it's mocking. I got a question for you.
I mean,
got a question for you.
Sure.
What do the Norwegians think of Biden?
Pretty much right now the media is quite silent, because they were like rooting for him all along, but right now there's like not much positive to talk about, so they kind of don't say anything, except when it comes to like things that they do want to cover, like climate change and so forth. Well, then it's great, you know. They're still busy talking negative about Trump right now. They don't really have much to say about the U.S. except for having to, whenever it fits them, to talk about something other than Biden. So,
What gets me is why so many countries are against Trump, and he was a good president. And I didn't, you know, I'm not saying he's the only, you know, but he did a lot of good. And he, you know, we were energy independent. We were having a wall built so that the invasion of the South would stop. He was reducing taxes. He did a lot of stuff, and Biden's doing the opposite. And this is why I say the people on the far left have mental problems. And I am dead serious. I believe they have mental problems. And part of the facts that support this is they want socialists. They want all this idiocy, loss of freedom. They want more control. They push, they lie to get somebody in. And then when it goes bad for them, then they don't say anything. They still attack somebody else. It's insane. This is mental prop. This is something's wrong. It's just wrong. Why do they do that? You know, there's something wrong with them. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Dead serious. Mental. They're mental. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you know they even talked about calling themselves Christians, and you know, and that's just unbelievable. I was the only. I'm a local politician here in Norway. I'm not well known or anything, but I was the only person on national TV saying something positive about Trump during the U.S. election.
Wow!
So that tells you how you know much people talk about anything about America other than the Democrats as positive. When you have to find some local politicians, you know. to say something positive about Trump. There's not one, you know, national, publicly well-known politician who wants to say anything positive about Trump or Republicans. It's pretty amazing.
It is amazing. It is, you know. There's
And especially when we talk about Christian values, you know, abortion issues and, you know, this rainbow flag and all these things. Quite astonishing, really, that Christians, even just for the sake of what's right, you don't even have to like Trump, but you know, just that he stands for things that we should be able to agree on as Christians, you know, just on some issues. And that's, I find that astonishing that they're willing to just support the other candidate because they have this image of Trump being so bad.
It's propaganda. You know, if they don't realize how bad the Democratic Party here in America is, they don't have any business reporting the news. And I'm not saying, you know, that Republicans are perfect, because they certainly are not. And I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm an independent. I'm a constitutionalist. But, you know, when it's always one-sided, you know you can't trust them. And that's the issue.
Yeah.
You really can't trust the left. Yeah. And it's just ridiculous. So, okay?
Yeah. But I know that there are many people that agree with us, and in Norway even some people are now starting to share their opinions and so forth. But, you know, it's mostly quiet. People are just kind of just silent on issues. And
Check this out. We got to get going here. But I'll tell you, I just read a headline. A guy, a truck driver, may win a big seat in one of our government things in one of the states. He spent $153 on his campaign, and he's about to upset another guy who's been a Democrat. And a black woman won a big seat in one of the states. And now the left are calling it because of white supremacy. It's just, they're insane. The left is insane.
I think
we got to go, Blake. There's a break.
And it's going to turn. Yeah, sure. Good. Okay. God bless you. Thank you, man.
You too, Simon. God bless, man. Hey, folks, 4 Open Lines. You want to give me a call? 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get on the air with Charlie from North Carolina. Charlie, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, brother. I can't find much about Nimrod in the Bible, except in Genesis. Is that the only place he occurs?
I believe so. Let me just do a quick check. Let's see, Genesis. Nimrod, and it occurs in Genesis 10. And 1 Chronicles 1, Micah. Hmm. Oh. Micah 5, it occurs in. So there you go. Micah 5, 6, the land of Nimrod at its entrances. He will deliver us from the Assyrians. And then in 1 Chronicles 1, 10, Cush became the father of Nimrod. He became the mighty one of the earth. And like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord, Genesis 10, 9. So that's about it.
Okay. Yeah. I thought somewhere I heard he commissioned the Tower of Babel among many other cities, and I thought he got up on the tower and shot an arrow into the sky for some reason. But I was thinking also, when people, you know, use it as a derogatory term for somebody that might be a little stupid, to say he's a Nimrod, mm-hmm. I thought he did something stupid in the Bible to get that reputation.
I've not studied Nimrod in depth. I'm looking at information right now about him, and it's just general information. Tradition makes him rule over Babylon and Akkad in southern Mesopotamia, and over Nineveh in Assyria. The phrase "land of Nimrod" seems to be synonymous with Assyria itself. So there's some information on that, and there's all kinds of stuff. Subjects also pre and post biblical literature and legends. So I'm looking for the stuff that you were talking about there, I don't see anything. So
yeah, I don't know where I got that. I mean, it's been so long ago. I'm not really sure where I got that idea.
Yeah, I've heard stuff like that too. And you know, sometimes you hear stuff and you think that's what it is, and stuff. But he's a famous hunter. We know that. And it's worth discussing who was Nimrod, and you just do some research on him and write an article, like the 8,000 other ones
they
do.
They upset the Lord when they built the tower because
yes, they did.
I think they were trying to build it to the heavens or to heaven. I'm not sure, something like that, but God didn't like that.
Right. The idea was that they wanted to be their own rulers and their own sovereignty and build this thing to demonstrate their greatness, the greatness of people. And it was arrogance, and God destroyed them for it. Yep.
Destroyed or
scattered them, I should say. You know, broke up the languages.
Scattered, okay. Yeah. He confused their language, and they scattered right after that, or he scattered them.
Yeah. Yeah, and they went to different places, right? Uh-huh.
Okay. One real quick question about pharmakia. That's the root word for pharmacy?
Yeah, it's the root word that's used in English for pharmacy, pharmakia, but it's translated into sorcery in the Greek.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about. So if sorcery is associated with pharmacy, I'm old and busted and I take meds, but I was wondering if I had anything to worry about because the meds are associated with sorcery.
No, what they would do is use medication to achieve altered states of consciousness. They would use them, become addicted to them. And things like that. You know, there's nothing wrong with taking medication. The Bible says, you know, take strong drink to the man who, give strong drink to the man who's in distress. Proverbs 33:6, I believe it is. And so, you know, the idea of taking medicines for our needs is certainly fine. It's valid, not a problem. You can do that. Don't worry about it. Just do it according to the instructions, and no big deal. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Good.
All right.
I was thinking of something like that because it was mind-altering stuff, you know, when people get high or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, I appreciate
But they're not
that.
Using it as a medicine. They're using it as entertainment, and it's, you know, to achieve things that are not designed to be achieved by that medicine. They abuse them and misuse them. And because the
true.
Occult, the sorcery and stuff like that was related to the issue of medicines and drugs, and there's some things. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. All right, man. Have a good one.
You too, man. God bless.
Appreciate it.
All right. Hey, we have three open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Chuck from North Carolina, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Matt, when do you believe... Did the church start in Acts chapter 4 or Acts chapter 2, do you think?
Well, it depends what you mean by...
Time, maybe.
It depends what you mean by church. And so, if we define church as the elect, then that started from before the foundation of the world. If you mean church as the time when the Holy Spirit came upon people and elders and pastors were instituted, then that happened at Pentecost, which is Acts 2. If you want to, you know, just depends. Yeah. Because that's when the Holy Spirit came upon people or speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
And baptism was instituted, but that was for the issue of related to the charismata. A lot of people don't know that in Acts 2:38. But so this depends on how you define it, because the word church is ekklesia in Greek, and it can be used in different ways. Assembly, for one thing, a gathering. And it doesn't have to be an ecclesiastical body. And then there's ecclesiastical gatherings of bishops, of elders, and things like that. And you have the church gathering in Acts 15, and that's a church gathering. But then the church, if you say the church is comprised of the saved, then the church would have to include the Old Testament saints. If you say, no, we're talking about after Jesus ascended into heaven, when did the church begin? Then different answer.
Right, gotcha.
Okay.
And that girl, the lady, the African-American lady that won the it's in Virginia. She's the right under the governor. And her dad came from Jamaica with $1.75 in his pocket.
Wow.
Pretty good, huh? In 1963, he went back, adopted her when she was 6 years old, brought her back, and it's just, praise the Lord, what a glorious success story, you know?
Right.
I love that song by Jay and the Americans, Only in America, huh?
Yes, that's right. And the left was saying that she won because of white supremacy.
No. Let them keep on going with it. Good. I hope they do. They'll get beat everywhere.
Yeah.
Because if people can't figure that out after a while, and if they're just controlled by their emotions, unsaved people, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, you know, I texted my pastor and I said, well, will the Lord save America, do you think, Pastor? And then I put in parentheses elections, and he said,
well, we can only
keep praying.
Hopefully he will. I have a feeling that he's going to let it
Matt,
fall.
I'm going to believe it.
Buddy, there's a break. We got to go. Okay, we got to go, buddy. All right, man. God bless, Chuck. Okay, we'll see you. Hey, folks, four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back to the show. Why don't you give me a call? We have four open lines. 877-207-2276. All right, let's get to Brian from Texas. Brian, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Brother Matt. I've been reading a little bit of the Church Fathers, and I was wondering if you, I imagine you've read it more than I have. I was wondering when the ministers, like the elders of the church, they began to call them priests. I think I read something in Origen that he referred to ministers as priests and everything, but do you know when it started?
No, I don't, but that's a good question, because I do research on the Church Fathers periodically, because I debate Catholics and Eastern Orthodox people, and they have, in fact, I was discussing something with an Eastern Orthodox guy last night, as a matter of fact, in a chat room, a verbal chat room, and when we talked about Scripture, the first thing he did was go to the Church Fathers. He doesn't go to Scripture. It took 15 minutes to get him to look at the Word of God. So I do a lot of Church Father research sometimes, but I've not discussed or researched that particular issue. I have not.
And kind of a follow-up question with the Reformation, like Martin Luther and John Calvin, all those guys, they specifically did not, to the best of my recollection, they didn't call themselves priests. But I think the Anglican Church, which is considered Protestant, they still call themselves priests. Did you know why those distinctions exist?
No, I don't, but I literally put that into my list of things to research in the Church Fathers. I have a list here, because, and I don't have an answer for you, I don't, not yet, but it's interesting because I'm developing an article. A lot of times articles I can write in 1 hour, sometimes articles take me weeks, one article, you know, it just depends, and this is one that's going to take me weeks. What are some of the things that early church fathers did not teach? Because the proponents of tradition and their sacred councils and all this stuff that we get unbiblical stuff from, they say, well, where are the Protestant distinctives in the Reformation, in the church fathers? Because the church fathers didn't teach any of this stuff, which is true that they did. I can show stuff. But they don't. I'm going to research Assumption of Mary, Holy Water, Prayer to Mary, the Infusion of Grace, Condign and Congruent Merit, where Mary crushed the head of the serpent, Indulgences, Latin Mass, and calling themselves priests. That's now on my list of things to research, just from what you said. Because a lot of times what they're going to say is that the church fathers all had all the true doctrines, but it's not the case because a lot of them developed much later. And so the same criticism can be asked of them as is of the Protestants. Where's these later things found in the Church Fathers? But nevertheless, I don't put much credence in the Church Fathers because they contradict themselves and each other. But as far as that one goes, I don't know. I'm going to do some research on it.
I think calling them a priest and everything kind of justifies the notion that. That the mass is a sacrifice and everything like that. It all goes into that.
Mm-hmm. So it's sacerdotalism.
And it's exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd appreciate you researching that because I haven't done much research on it, but I have kind of every time I read in a church history book, I'm looking to see if somebody mentions it, and I haven't found it yet. So.
Well, I can tell you that there are some very good resources for researching the Church Fathers that are online. And I don't know if you're interested in that, but I have some links. Church Fathers Scripture Index, for example. And you type in a verse, and it gives a reference of every Church Father that used or referenced it. It's incredible. And I've been using it a great deal to work against the idea of the unanimous consensus of the Church Fathers. There are resources out there that are incredibly good, and just a great deal of stuff. But at any rate, so, you know, just a lot to research. And I love research. I love it. You know, I do.
And what is that? What is that website that you refer to?
Well, it's this one, and I'm just researching Summa Theologia by Thomas Aquinas. I researched him on predestination just this morning. But let me get to this site. Let's see right here. And it's called the Church Fathers Scripture Search Engine. So type in this, and if you can't find it, email me, and I'll just put a link in an email and send it to you. Church Fathers Scripture...
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. There it is. It's just catholiccrossreference.online/fathers. Yeah, Catholic cross-reference, two C's, Catholic, you know, crossreference.online/fathers. And it gets you to that. You can type in any verse, like, let's see, John 3:16. And there it goes. You see? And it shows you who, what, when. I get handed to them. They did a brilliant job on this thing. They did a brilliant job. Another source is the Early Christian Writings. And you go to earlychristianwritings.com. Earlychristianwritings.com. And you will see all kinds of stuff in there. And so if I were to go to, for example, Colossians, I can look up where different people and different things are taught. Chronological list of early Christian writings. It's got everything in there. There's a lot of good work out there. All you got to do is research, and that's what I do. I spend hours just going through this stuff, typing in names, typing in words, sentences, scripture references, collecting the information, codifying it, writing an article, and then talking about it. So, a lot of stuff.
Sounds good. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Okay. God bless. All right. Well, all right, folks, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. We have four open lines. Give me a call. Let's get to Mary from South Carolina. Hey, Mary, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Hopefully I sound okay because I'm driving.
Yeah, you sound okay.
I have a few people. Oh, good, thanks. Mm-hmm. I have a few people recently that have been talking to me about the Book of Enoch,
mm-hmm.
and how it's supposed to be one of the books that's supposed to be in the Bible. But, you know, I'm trying to talk to them about, well, it obviously wasn't an inspired book. Otherwise, it would be in the Bible.
Correct. You are correct.
What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, you're correct. They are incorrect. If they're going to say that it needs to be in the Bible, then they have to provide the reasons that it does. They also need to answer why the Christian church rejected it as an inspired book. What gets me is people say, well, it's supposed to be in the Bible. It was taken out. Where's your evidence for that? Don't just say it. Where's your evidence?
Yeah,
provide it.
That's
delicate. Right. And another thing, there are many books that are mentioned in the Bible that are not in Scripture. There's a lot of them. There's like over 20. Just because something's quoted in the Bible doesn't mean it is inspired. So Paul quoted Epimenides, Menaster. They are pagan philosophers. It doesn't mean that all those books are inspired. So the people who say this don't know what they're talking about. Politely, they don't know.
Okay. And they probably don't know the Bible as much as they should to know that shouldn't be in there.
That's right.
Okay.
You are correct again.
All right. I really appreciate it.
You are smart. You're wonderful.
Well, thank you.
Good for you.
You have a great night. Thank you so much.
You too. God bless. All right. Hey, folks, we have nobody waiting. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And, I'm looking at a bunch of list of so-called lost books of the Bible, and it's on CARM, called List of Dates, the Lost Books of the New Testament. List of dates, it should be of the lost books of the Bible, so-called lost books, because of the, I'm going to put that in there, the so-called. So, there are a lot of people who just don't believe that the Bible is complete and true, and that God was able to preserve his word, and it used the Christian church to recognize what is true, and then establish what the canon already was. You got to understand that the canon, which means the accepted book of books of Scripture, are not based or not arrived at because of the decisions of the Christian church. No, the Christian church does not have the authority to say something is Scripture. The Christian church has the right and the authority to recognize what is Scripture, because what is inspired from the pen or from the hand of the original writers is automatically inspired right then, because it comes from God and is part of the canon. So when people say that other books are in the Bible and that the church has taken them out or whatever it is, they need to provide some evidence for this. If they don't have any evidence for it, any documentation, then they shouldn't be spreading rumors, because that's all it is. It's essentially the same thing as being gossip. So this is something that they have to worry about. They need to be concerned about. And most people, unfortunately, are not. They should be. Hey, four open lines. We'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned. 877-207-2276. Give me a call. I'll be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get to John from Raleigh, North Carolina. John, you're on the air.
Hi, Matt. What's your insight in, give me some insight into your, about the four living creatures in Revelation. They're apparently angels, and but except that now they have the eyes around them, which I guess just means foreknowledge and of history. But then in one place it's confusing because it mentions, I don't have my Bible in front of me, that one is like a lion and one is like a man and stuff like that. So that, that I found confusing. So any insights?
Yes. They are probably angelic beings that represent power and work of God in varying areas. And they are not only present in the book of Revelation, but they're present in other places as well in the Bible.
Yes.
So, for example, in the tabernacle,
yes,
in the tabernacle, there were 12 tribes, and they were camped in four groups of three, one to the north of the tabernacle, one to the south, one to the east, one to the west, and it was also a lion, ox, an eagle, and a man. And when you took the number of those men in those camps, and you just stretched them out from the tabernacle, and you go up a few thousand feet and look down, you'll see a cross. And so they represent something very interesting, which I'm not exactly sure, but the type is there. And you're right, they're also in Ezekiel, lion, ox, eagle, and man, in Ezekiel's vision, the four-faced creature, and in, of course, Revelation. And a lot of people don't know this, but the four Gospels were known symbolically as the lion, ox, eagle, and the man. As man, Matthew, Mark, lion, Luke as the ox or the bull, and John as the eagle. They were known in code that way. In fact, here's some more trivia. You know the Ixoy fish, you know, that people use on their cars and stuff? That if you look at the fish, it's two arcs. And what would happen is the Christians, in the early days of persecution, they didn't know who was a Christian. They'd be talking with somebody, and they would just take their foot and draw an arc in the dirt. And if the other person completed the arc, then it was a sign that they were probably a Christian. And also,
trivia,
the word ichthus, which is fish, is 1,224 as a gematria value, but ichthus is iota, chi, theta, upsilon, and sigma. And those five letters are the first letter of each word of Jesu Christus, Theu Huyasoter, which is Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. It's just interesting trivia stuff. But nevertheless, as far as back to the four, I'm not exactly sure what they are. I think they're angelic beings, and they represent, I'm not sure what they represent, because how do you find something that represents
that they
everything?
Can,
Go ahead.
They call forth, you know, everything that happens, you know.
Mm-hmm.
At first, it's the angels calling forth different seals and whatnot, and then it's these four creatures calling forth things.
Right.
You know, so they say, come, you know.
They carry out the will of God. They're extremely powerful, and they have been around for a long time. So it probably has something to do with God sending out angels to do his will, and they're part of that. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, great insights. I appreciate all your comments. Thank you, Matt.
All right, man. Well, if you find anything more, call me up. Let me know, because I need to learn about that more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, man. God bless. All right, let's get to Jay from Virginia. Hey, Jay, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Matt?
Doing all right. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, so I was talking to a guy today, and he said something. I didn't know how to respond to it. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the Bible, and he said that with the disciples being just men, that they would have their opinion in when writing the Bible, and I didn't really know how to respond to that.
You say, yeah, so?
It would kind of change. It would be truly divine as men.
Here's what you say.
Men were writing it.
Here's what you say. You say to them, yeah, that's correct. So what? That's it. Okay. Now, if they're going to say that therefore you can't trust it, really, why not? You mean God can't work through people and direct their hearts, as Psalm 21:1 says? God moves the heart of the king where he wishes it to go. Can he not do that? So what was the problem? It's simple. Okay. A lot of times, we've got to understand something. A lot of times what people do is they'll meet something like that, a challenge, and then they try and answer it. A lot of times I'll just say, yeah, so what? What about it? I want them to provide the exact reason why what they're saying isn't or is not an issue. And then I'm going to tackle that reasoning. I want them to provide. They're the ones attacking. So let's find out what their assumptions are, what their reasoning is, and attack the assumptions and the reasoning. And then if they ask you questions, and you should answer questions too, of course, you know. But this is what you do. They make a statement like that, you want to challenge it. Oh, well, okay. So what? Why is that a big deal? Why is it that they can't use their own opinions and their own thoughts? How do you know that those opinions and thoughts aren't guided by God? By the Holy Spirit? How do you know? So
that makes sense. And I have one more question that we got to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
He said that hell was a mindset, and obviously I told him that it wasn't. It was an actual place. And he said that that in heaven that we would still have, my question is, are we going to have free will in heaven?
Yes. Yes, hell is a place, but it's also a state of mind. Particularly if you look at the socialist commies, they're gonna realize they're in hell. But yeah, it's an actual place, and you can go to Luke 16:19 through 31, and it talks about the Jesus didn't give a parable, but a story of Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus was an actual name of an individual. Parables don't have names, and they went to a bad place. And so that's that. And also you can go to Revelation 14:11 and 20:10. It talks about people being cast into lake of fire. It's not just a mental idea. Okay, period on that. Now, what was the other part you said? Free will in heaven.
Yeah,
with us
having free will in heaven.
Sure.
Are we going to, since we're going to be made like Jesus, that will keep us from sinning?
Well, most probably, we won't be able to sin because we're going to be regenerated in a complete sense in the presence of holiness. But you see, free will is the ability to just make a choice that's consistent with your nature, that is not forced. The unbelievers have free will. They're free to sin all they want, and they choose to sin. They choose to freely rebel against God. But we who are in heaven, when we get there, I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't know all the answers to the questions because the Bible doesn't reveal it to us. But I'm assuming we will not be able to sin for one of two reasons or both. In the presence of God's incredible holiness, the light of his brightness will cast away every shadow of sin. And in his presence, we won't because of that presence. That's one idea. Another one is that in our completely resurrected bodies, that sinful self will be terminated, and yet our identity will still exist, and we will be able to live well and by God's grace without sin. Okay.
Gotcha. Alrighty, well, I appreciate it.
All right, man. Okay. Well, God bless.
All right, thank you.
Okay. God bless. Bye. All right. Four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Elvin.
Hello?
Hey, Elvin, welcome. You're on the air.
Listen, I read in the Bible, they say you're supposed to put your seed in the belly of a whore and let it go to waste. What chapter is it in?
I don't know if that's the case. I don't know of any verse like that.
It's in the Bible.
I don't know if it's in the Bible. Maybe if someone's listening, they can find it. I'm looking through varying verses about the word seed to see. And I don't know what context that might have been if it did occur. It might be there. I don't know how the whole Bible memorized. So I don't know. Okay.
Well, could you just look and see? Could you find?
I'm looking now. While we're talking, I'm able to just click a certain button, and I can find out where the word seed.
In the Bible, it says you're supposed, in Numbers, the sons that you're supposed to give a man with a heavy heart drink, princes and kings and queens are supposed to drink strong drink.
That's Proverbs 33:6. Yeah, it says give strong drink. Or is it 33:6? Wait, maybe. No, it's not. 31:6.
And then, too, it says, if you fornicate outside of marriage, you'll burn in hell.
Well, that's 1 Corinthians 6:9. The idea here is that those who participate in that and are fornicators, that's their lifestyle, then, yeah, they were going to be, they're not regenerate, they're going to be going to hell. Okay?
Okay.
You have to trust in Christ. Okay? Are you there?
Yeah. You couldn't find that verse? You couldn't look
no.
it up? Or?
No, but the strong drink one is Proverbs 31:6. Good strong drink to him who's perishing. Now let me look.
I know it's in there because I read a preacher told me, a pastor told me. I can't. I forgot his name. I tried to mark it in the Bible. I read it.
Okay. It's there. I just told. Yeah.
It's in there. It is in there.
The drink
but
one.
But it said if. It's best to put your seed in the belly of a whore than let it go to the ground.
Well, I don't.
In Genesis chapter 38, God smote a man for letting his seed go to waste.
No.
Let it go to the ground.
Okay, let me explain. Okay, let me explain. Let me explain what that is about. That's Onan. All right, and I think it's Isaiah 38:6. Let me see. Let me see. 38. No, 9. He wasted his seed on the ground, and the reason he was in trouble for that is because he was not carrying out the obligation of raising children up to his fallen brothers. Yeah, and so he's supposed to take a wife, go and do that, and his judgment upon him for that was he spilled the seed on the ground, and then God punished him for it. Okay, this is the obligation of Levite marriage.
And you will burn in hell. If you fornicate outside of marriage.
Well, it's called adultery and fornication.
Yeah,
adultery is if you are married.
Adultery.
But, yeah.
You
can
be forgiven for that.
You can be forgiven, yes. That's a forgivable sin.
You can be
sin.
Forgiven.
Yes, you can. If
but
anybody,
if you continue to do it, you won't be forgiven. With.
Well.
Because I know Pastor Jeremiah said that Jesus died for our sins. And if we believe on Jesus Christ,
we'll be saved. That's right. And repentance is part
like
of this.
We need to. With the Holy Spirit. We try to live like you. We can't be perfect because we can't do about this.
Yeah.
We have to believe on Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit has to deal with us. You will be forgiven. That's what I heard this afternoon.
We will be forgiven if we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. Repentance is part of the result of our regenerative work, and so we freely turn from our sin and seek to repent from such things as fornications and adulteries. And if you don't turn from those things, it's a demonstration that you're not really saved, and you are on your way to hell.
If you do them, you ain't saved, right?
If you participate in them and stick with them and don't repent, yeah, that's a sign you're not saved. Okay? We're going to go, buddy. Thanks a lot, Elvin. All right. Hey, folks, we're out of time. There's the music. May the Lord bless you by His grace. We'll be back on the air tomorrow, and hopefully we'll talk to you then. So God bless everybody. Have a great evening. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.